Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
Hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. We've got a very busy show for you on this Monday, Montag. We're going to look at the January 6th lies and the footage that was released, because we have 44,000 hours of footage that has been released now, and we're going to go through it. All 44,000 hours. So get your popcorn. We're going to watch it. We're going to watch all 44,000 hours. But Americans had a very busy weekend going through this footage. And there's a ton of things that we've revealed in this footage that shows the Democrats' structure and narrative is crumbling right before our eyes. Will there be a special now investigation with the new House of Representatives calling for a new investigation for perhaps Nancy Pelosi lying to Congress? All of that and more. We'll look at that.
Plus, we're going to talk about how President Biden is turning 81 today. What he really wants from us is two wars, the ones he wants the most, Russia and Iran specifically. We're going to talk about how he is dog whistling for a war with Iran. We're going to pick up what he's putting down, and you're going to decide, are you going to vote for that or not?
Also, we're going to look at unvaccinated soldiers. These were the brave men and women who said, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to get vaxxed. You want me to do this as part of a mandate in the United States military? I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. And they were booted out. They were given discharges. Well, guess what? The irony of ironies, we have a recruitment problem in the United States, and we'll tell you what is being offered to these unvaccinated soldiers who were given the old heave-ho. All of that and more as Redacted starts right now.
Welcome to Redacted. This is the show where we tell the stories the mainstream media largely ignores or spins down or has an agenda. We have no agenda. We are just lifelong learners, journalists, and readers, and we try and break through context. We also are a married couple. There was a comment on our channel over the weekend where someone said, she should have her own show, and then someone else said, no, you need the both of them. It's like coffee without cream. Like, one without the other doesn't quite work. And I like that. Yeah, we're a tag team.
I thought you were going to go to the one. I saw one over the weekend where somebody was like, damn, Clayton's sister's hot or something like that. Is she married?
No, we do.
Not
get
my
that.
Sister.
We're not brother and sister. We are.
But I do like the joke. The joke never gets old. Hey, you know what else never gets old is DDoS attacks, denial of service attacks against our good friends over at Rumble. So if a lot of you maybe were trying to get on Rumble earlier tonight, yes, Rumble was down. They were attacked. And Rumble even tweeted about this a short time ago saying massive DDoS attack. Our engineers are investigating. We'll report back. They were able to pinpoint it down. I think they pinpointed this massive DDoS attack coming out of China. So they got the servers back up. So hopefully you guys are not having any. Are we seeing any sort of service interruptions on Rumble tonight at all, guys?
Not so since far. We got it. Okay. Yeah, no, it all seems to be running pretty good right now.
Oh, we are.
Earlier today. Okay. Yeah, it was definitely down.
We're back.
So Rumble tweeted out afterwards and says, update, our services are restored. The world doesn't like freedom of expression, but we will hold the line as long as we need to. So, yeah, they pinpointed that to, I guess, China was where it was. So.
All right. Well, if you're joining us on Rumble, thank you for being on the Vanguard.
That's
right. Appreciate you. Hey, here's another way you can be on the Vanguard is join our daily newsletter. It's totally free. You can find it at redacted.inc. You put in your email address, and then we send you an authentication email. And that's it. That's all we're going to ever ask of you, except to just read the free email. We never ask you to pay for another layer of it or we never put anything behind a paywall. This is just news that we bring and compile for you. It goes along with our daily show. So every day, Monday through Thursday, that the show is live, you also get the Redacted email. Again, it's free. So please do subscribe. It's a great way for us to keep in touch with you. It's redacted.inc. every morning, Monday through Thursday, except this week. This is a holiday week, so we are coming to you Monday and Tuesday only, because then Wednesday and on, we have to contend with our children, darling.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, so we won't have a show Wednesday and Thursday, just so you know. But you're here now. Let's do the thing.
That's right. Let's get into the news, shall we? Well, Americans had a very busy weekend doing what Congress wouldn't do. Americans spent the weekend basically combing through 44,000 hours of January 6th footage. Some eagle-eyed Americans were able to comb through all of this. And the Speaker of the House, of course, Mike Johnson, released all of it for you to watch. You can watch it now publicly if you'd like. So there's a lot of questions that we want answers to. Here are a few questions we have. Why did the FBI and Capitol Police lure the crowd into the building that day? That's a good question, right? Why were they doing that? Why did Capitol Police fire on innocent people who were peacefully protesting with paintball guns that some had reported? And others were saying, that's a conspiracy theory. You clearly rushed the Capitol. You were not fired upon first. You were storming the Capitol. These were the narratives that we heard. That was suppressed, of course, by the January 6th committee. Will we see body cam footage of all of that? You know, who fired first? Where was that? There was a ton of body cam footage. Or was that all just a MAGA fantasy, a lie by Trump supporters? How many FBI agents were there that day? Well, according to the FBI, there were just too many to count, and they lost track. Originally, though, remember what they told us originally? How many FBI informants were at the Capitol that day? What was their response?
A goose egg.
Zero. Zero. Now, the story has changed. Oh, there's just too many, and we lost track. It's amazing how this works, isn't it? According to the FBI, there were so many to count, and they just lost track. Originally, they told us there were none there. And maybe we'll see some agents in the crowd when we comb through this footage. Why was Nancy Pelosi's daughter there filming a documentary that day with a film crew? Why was that? Like, she knew it was worth filming that day, right? Like, something might have happened. Will we see the frantic moments that Pelosi came face-to-face with death and barely survived? Will we see that footage? Until now, we've only seen really what Liz Cheney and the January 6th Select Committee actually wanted you to see, selectively edited videos showing alleged MAGA Trump supporters smashing windows, breaching the Capitol. And even when Kevin McCarthy gave Tucker Carlson's production team at Fox News a chance to go and look at the footage, they held on to it, and they had to go to the Capitol and comb through it there for 2 weeks. And they went through as much as they could in that amount of time. So it's not like they just handed it over to Tucker and he was able to take it home with his team. No, they had to go to the Capitol and basically camp out there and look at it. So they really didn't hand it over. So now we have access to it. Well, oh boy, because buckle your seatbelts, guys, because they told us what happened on January 6th was worse than 9/11. Remember, they said that it was worse than 9/11. So bad that America was under attack by an enemy so vile, so destructive, that America would never be the same. It was so devastating that Congressman Adam Kinzinger couldn't hold back tears.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to my colleagues on the committee. Thank you to our witnesses. I never expected a day to be quite as emotional for me as it has been.
Yeah, it really is. A lot of tears. So white supremacist MAGA supporters trying to tear down democracy by storming the United States Capitol. They were right. This footage, as we've gone through it, is as scary as Democrats have made it out to be. No wonder Liz Cheney and Nancy Pelosi kept the truth from us, because it shows just how bad it was. Here's just a sample of the newly released video this weekend. This might give you post-traumatic stress, so I apologize in advance if what you're about to watch is a little scary. I'm warning you, brace yourself for this, okay? Take a look at your screen here. What you're going to see here on the top part of your screen is an angry horde of Trump supporters storming the Capitol. And I want you to watch as they brutally attack these police officers. And they, look at this. Absolutely troubling.
Wait for it.
You know, watch, look at that. I mean, it gives me shivers. Really gives me shivers.
It makes me think of that Simpsons episode where that guy's like, those white flags are no match for our muskets.
I mean, have you guys seen anything so terrifying? I don't know, but I mean, maybe the blue hat.
Those police think is going on?
Look, they're just chatting amongst themselves and, hey, how you doing? Waving to them.
Maybe someone should interview them and ask, what did you think was going on? when those unsanctioned people walked into the Capitol.
Oh, Adam Kinzinger really did. He was in tears over it. Oh, it gets worse. You think this footage is bad, guys? Police are so terrified, I'm going to show you next video here, that they're shaking hands and giving more instructions on where to go in the building. Take a look at this. Here you go. There you go. Need help there? There you go. Pat on the back. You want to go this way? All good. All good. You just go that way, guys. Yeah, right down there. Just walk right through. Pat on the back. Nice to see you. There, I'll show you. I'll even lead you there. Okay, go ahead. Nice to meet you guys. Police are so terrified of these violent insurgents that they can barely hold the doors. Here's another. We're going to hold the doors for these folks coming through. And I'm just worried that they're going to run me over. They're so violent, and they're going to kill me. And so I'm going to hold these nice little French doors here open, and I'm going to make sure that they don't smash the glass. And here you go, this way. You can enter right this down this way. If you guys need to use the bathroom or get a coffee or anything like that, just...
It's cold outside. Warm yourself.
Warm yourselves up here in the confines of the Capitol, and I'll hold this door. Oh, is there more of you guys coming? Let me just hold the door for you. And I want to say the next video, though, honestly, guys, might be the scariest of them all. This video, honestly, to me, this next video here... go ahead and roll it there, Philip. There we go. This is the one. Yeah, this is the next video. This might be the scariest of them all. This video looks like an intermission at a Broadway show. You know, when you go out halfway through a show, if you've ever been to some sort of a musical or orchestra performance or something like that, only thing missing is a snack bar.
You want and the long line only for the ladies' room.
Yeah, the ladies' room. And there's people just kind of hanging out, milling about. And this goes on for minutes at a time, people taking selfies and saying hi and fist bumping the heavily armored police.
Asking for instructions, the man there in the gray. Yeah. Like, what is here okay over there? You there, tell me and I'll
go wherever I want to go. So yeah, these are some of the newly released videos that you haven't had a chance to see yet. You've seen the heavily edited ones, of course. The ones that Liz Cheney wanted you to see. This violent horde could be heard two blocks away, though. You saw the violent hordes there. And two blocks away, there was a brave member of Congress who was held up, hiding in terror. This brave member of Congress recounted the horrifying moments. I want you to listen.
Like, I'm here, and the bathroom door starts going like this. Like, the bathroom door's behind me. Or rather in front of me, and I'm like this, and the door hinges right here, and I just hear, where is she? Where is she? And this was the moment where I thought everything was over.
Yeah. So good thing camera crews were already in place. Coincidentally, Nancy Pelosi and her daughter's production company had cameras ready to go and roll on the moment that something happened that day. I mean, that's amazing, right? Have a full production crew ready to go, just in case. And new video emerged this weekend showing how staged the whole thing actually was. Watch an alleged phone call with Mike Pence. You can hear Mike Pence on the phone, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Now, we've never seen this video before until now with this newly released footage. See if you can spot some differences between the video that was released on CNN that we've already seen. It was part of the January Select Committee. It was released on HBO and also on CNN. See the difference between the video that was released on CNN of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the real video that was just released. Because sometimes when you're filming a movie, you have to have multiple takes in order to get the shot just right. How many takes did they have? We only know of two. Here are two examples.
And I'm at the Capitol building. I'm literally standing with the chief of police of the U.S. Capitol Police. They believe that the House and the Senate will be able to reconvene in roughly an hour. I'm standing with the chief of the U.S. Capitol Police. He just informed me that they believe that the House and the Senate will be able to reconvene in roughly an hour.
Okay, did you guys notice any difference there? Do you guys notice any differences, Philip, David, anybody in the chat room? Did you guys spot the difference?
I just noticed a jump cut, but I didn't really spot.
Oh, Philip, say it.
The third person.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Philip, okay. The eagle-eyed observer, okay. Philip, as always.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like one of those things is
no,
not like the other.
They filmed it twice.
Okay.
It's Phil. It's two different shots
with the same phone call.
With the same phony phone call, like Howard Stern doing a prank. But in this, can we rerun it? Because in this second version of the shot, guess who pops in there? Chuck Grassley, a totally different congressman, pops in. I guess they didn't catch this in their edits. Unbelievable how this whole thing is watched, staged. Look at this. So there's Chuck Schumer on the right, Nancy Pelosi in her mask.
They believe that the House and the Senate will be able to reconvene in roughly an hour. Standing with the chief of the U.S. Capitol Police, he just informed me that they believe that the House and the Senate.
Oh, look, she's really acting it up, given that she's heard this twice. She's like, wow. Oh my gosh, that's shocking. She shivered.
Nancy, we have to do the shot again, Nancy, but we really need you to be like, oh my God, we need you to act up a little bit more this time. Can you fucking believe this?
You said F.
I mean, really? Like, how is this not being investigated right now? How is there not an investigation being called for? Well, I shouldn't say that. Marjorie Taylor Greene just did call for a new investigation and a new January 6th committee on this specific issue, specifically over Nancy Pelosi lying to the committee about any kind of collusion or discussions with Capitol Police. And here he is, a phone call with Mike Pence about the Capitol Police. I had no contact with them whatsoever. Here's a phone call. And a totally staging of the event. A congressman's not even in the shot on the first time, and then he's there the next time. Who knows which one they decided to run with? Probably the one where she's looking more frantic. Are you kidding me? And we're okay with this?
Also, can we just circle back around to the AOC? Because I have questions. Are we supposed to assume that she's just really good at hide-and-go-seek, and they didn't find her because she was so good at hiding in the bathroom stalls? Is that what she's trying to tell us? Like,
no,
they
her
came
life was in,
in
danger. I mean,
they said, where is she? Yeah. But I was so good at hiding in a bathroom that they didn't find me and they walked away. Because that, I just want to know how she wins hide and go seek like that, because I need some tips for playing with my 7-year-old.
It was a security guard that said that. It wasn't even a protester.
Oh, and yeah, okay. But otherwise, she's just really
good.
Because I also have lived in the United States, and I know that bathroom stalls in the United States have, for whatever reason, big gaps in them.
Yeah,
and are high up off the ground. Nowhere else in the world does that. Why do we do this, America? Why do we have bathroom stalls that we can see through? So she's just supposed to be really good at hide and go seek. Didn't find her. Like, but they didn't find me. That's the end of that's what we're supposed to surmise.
Yeah, she's brilliant. She's amazing at it. She's like Catwoman. She's like Catwoman in there. I just really can't get over this Nancy Pelosi stuff. I mean, I really can't. Here is Nancy Pelosi, though. So we were wondering if we're going to see this footage, right? So we did now see new film footage emerging showing how terrifying it was for Pelosi to walk peacefully through the hallways with documentary film crews rolling. So now we get to see all of the behind-the-scenes footage of there with the cameras, and there's Nancy and just scuttling around and very calmly walking. You can watch this for like minutes at a time, walking through different hallways and so forth, just calmly, and just make sure those cameras are rolling because, you know, Nancy Pelosi's in the thick of it.
She's really a Zen master. She knows how to be cool under pressure. And all those other people must be too.
Lady Trucker in our chat, thank you for the $50 super chat, says, awesome catch. And check out the time difference. 1 minute apart time difference. I didn't even catch that. Good for you to catch that different time difference on the timestamps. I didn't see that. My older eyes didn't catch those timestamps. Thank you, Lady Trucker, for catching that too. So they've like, no, we got to do this shot again for drama. Unbelievable. New footage also shows the moment a terrorist was captured, arrested in handcuffs, and when he's out of sight of other people. Here you can see they uncuff him, take off those cuffs, no one's around. And, all right, you're out of your thing. Let's give the old fist bump. There you go.
What Fed. Is this?
Fist bump.
There you go. That's was this catch and release? Is this sports policing?
Hey, thanks for putting on a show. Your acting job is done for the day. All right, thank you, and good night, everyone. Have a great night.
I caught one that was at least 180 pounds, and he was this big.
Can you believe this?
Go hit the food services table on your way out and collect your commission check.
So we also see the footage of their Blue Lives Matter friends just like, you know, opening fire on an innocent crowd. So, right, it was, we're all here to support Blue Lives Matter. We care about Blue Lives Matter, right? We care about police officers. We care about Blue Lives Matter. So what the hell? Are people actually going to start firing on innocent people? I thought you were friends with these guys. Like, they're supporting you. They had your back. When Democrats were saying defund the police, like, these people had your back. These people were warning, hey, what's going to happen to American cities if we defund the police? Blue Lives Matter, we support you, right? Until you open fire on innocent people, peaceful crowd. Turns out there was a hell of a lot of body cam footage. We were hoping to see this body cam footage. And from Capitol Police that day, all of it was hidden from us until now. And it completely upends Democrats' official narrative about that day. There had been eyewitness reports from Capitol Police fired on innocent protesters that day. But that was suppressed until this weekend when we can clearly see Capitol Police using paintball guns. Now we get to see it from their side. We get to see the body cam footage from their side. Firing rubber ball grenades, pepper spray, flashbang grenades, and pepper spray and tear gas as well. The official narrative is that MAGA supporters rushed the Capitol, smashed through the barricades, and that's when they were fired upon. Would we see a footage emerging showing the opposite of that, that they were fired on first, as many eyewitnesses had said that day, and they were called crazy, they were called conspiracy theorists, and so forth? Turns out, yes, we would. So let me set this up. This footage you're about to see, what you see here is at 1:06 p.m. when these shots are first fired from Capitol Police. They're on the balcony, and they fire at...
I'm giving warnings about chemical munitions. I need the left and lethal team positioned above me to start deploying.
And fire. Look at the lower left-hand part of your screen. Boom. Hit in the face. Okay, boom. Right there with a paintball. Hit in the face. Pierces his cheek, okay? And just to recap again. So here we go. Fires right here. Fire shots open. And fire into the crowd at 1:07 p.m. Boom, right into the face and onto the right side. Impact on both of those areas. People start saying, what are you doing? Like, we're peaceful.
Oh, my God.
And there he is with a paintball into his face. And
I don't think that's an actual paintball. Those must be some special kind because paintballs don't do that.
They're pepper balls, I believe, is usually what police fire.
So I'm not sure exactly what that munition was that pierced his cheek. I mean, so you can see this crowd is not rushing the barricades until they're hit with all of these different flashbang grenades.
They're deploying flashbangs on us.
And they let them know that they're number one.
Into their own people. We're supposed to be supporting Blue Lives Matter. We represent Blue Lives, and this is what they do to us.
Stigma deployed! Stigma deployed! Stigma
deployed! Now you can see all the body cam footage here from the police, the Capitol Police. There's a lot of grenades being used, a lot of sting balls and rubber ball grenades being thrown. This guy loves throwing them. He's having a blast, just toss them over there. Big bag of them, like Santa Claus. Keep lobbing them.
23 up here. Near 43 on the north side of I Street. Very large crowd coming down I Street. 51, I need you here, please.
You got more in there, Santa Claus? All right. Give me some more of those. Give me some more of those sting balls. It's amazing how you need those now that you fired on.
If they'd never thrown the concussion grenades, if they'd never used the pepper spray, this wouldn't have happened. It was a peaceful protest. I was standing within 15 feet of the line of officers. They started firing at us before anybody did anything to them. We were not rushing them. There was no advance on them. They just started throwing concussion grenades and pepper spray.
Now, recall all the interviews that you've done with Brandon Straka, who mm-hmm. said that when he was mounting his defense, he was not allowed to see all of this footage. He was only given what they had against him and nothing else, right?
Right.
So a lot of this was not available, not just to us, the public, because it was a carefully crafted narrative, but also to the people who were trying to defend themselves.
Right.
So like that guy there who was saying, no, we were peaceful up until this. You have to wonder how useful is that to people's defenses and how much was it then withheld from them?
We know it was, absolutely. And when you see all of the other, I couldn't show you all of the footage tonight. I want to wrap it up here in a second. But there's so much other footage showing how the protest was peaceful until fired upon. We can't go through it all. But all of the body cam footage confirms it. Here's just a piece confirming that information that was withheld, showing the Capitol Police admitting, here it's subtitled to let you know, that they're admitting we are firing on innocent people. And they're openly laughing about it and admitting that they're doing it. Watch. Imagine that. They're innocent. We're multiplying their anger by hitting them.
That sounds really? Like blowback.
Is that what he just said?
That's literally what he just said. But this is all kept from you. And I'm sure CNN, don't worry, I'm sure CNN will show you all of this footage. I'm sure they'll go wall to wall with coverage of this, MSNBC, about the insurrection, the uprising, how the greatest threat to democracy is MAGA Trump supporters. I mean, it's sickening. It is absolutely sickening how the orchestration, we don't even talk about the undercover agents on camera caught admitting that they go undercover in Antifa rallies and other things like that to instigate. I mean, this is all out there now. And Marjorie Taylor Greene just a few minutes ago called for Speaker Johnson to establish a January 6th committee to investigate accountability, calls for the subpoena of Nancy Pelosi and other January 6th witnesses who lied on that day, said that they had no discussions with the Capitol Police. And well, we have the evidence that you did do that. Let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below.
I mean, we're not saying this is the whole narrative. Clearly, there's 44,000 hours, right? But we know now that the narrative that we were fed was a lie to advance an agenda against one party.
Right.
And that's all we need to know, like, at this point. And we need a lot more of this.
We've covered the other side of this story. We've shown you the windows being broken. We've shown you Ashley Babbitt being murdered. We've shown you, yes, there were people who did smash windows and break through. We also now understand that many of those individuals were FBI informants and undercover who were doing that. Are you going to tell us who was who? In your, when you do this investigation, are you going to tell us which of these people that smashed windows and pushed through were part of the informants and were doing it to provocate? Go ahead, David.
Well, I was going to say, I remember the very first time that we covered this, back when it first happened, we had footage of people handing sticks outside of the Capitol window, like handing them to people outside. And you can barely find that footage now, but we had that. And it's like, that's the thing. Like, there's so many things that the Fed does that, and they were obviously there. They're admitting it now, but we don't, there's so much that we don't know. And all of that could have been instigated. I mean, the cops were instigating with the grenades and stuff like that. I mean, that was an instigation.
Well, and also we showed footage here that day. We were covering it live that day. The police officers removing the gates so that people could come in, and they were waving them through. We watched it live. But then we were told that's a conspiracy, and then you couldn't find that footage later. It disappeared. They took it down and blocked it. It's unbelievable. So I'm interested to see Nancy Pelosi's response to all this now that we have the proof right here.
And Liz Cheney's. Yeah.
And Mike
and
Pence.
Anyone who was really committed to this narrative of January 6th as a linchpin of the decline of our democracy. I literally was at a social event the other day, and someone was trying to tell me that no one was properly punished for January 6th. And I was like,
"What?
I can't. I'm like, there's nowhere I can go with that. Do you want to talk about Israel?" And my friend came up and was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, you guys, you're going to separate now." And she separated us.
No one was properly
punished. I was like, okay, do you really want to talk about that? And this is why you don't invite me to parties. But the point is that someone in the year 2023, November of 2023, people will still say this willfully not watching the full story.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, thank you guys for subscribing to the channel. We do the show live Monday through Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We are live right now. Thank you guys. And if you do subscribe, your name will pop up here on the big board, like Yvonne. His name just popped up here and on the lower part of the screen here as well. So subscribe to us on Rumble if you're watching us on Rumble or on YouTube. We've got more news to get to because President Biden is itching for a war with Iran. And we have some major developments in the war with a major attack from Hezbollah on Israel, a Houthi rebel attack against an Israeli commercial ship this afternoon, and President Biden basically saying, get ready, America, we are going to war. So we will get there in a moment. But first,
we want to tell you about our friends over at BioOptimizers because, hey, it's exciting times. This week is Black Friday, and BioOptimizers has a Black Friday mega sale happening now already. And will last throughout the entire month of November. And listen carefully because this mega deal is available only to redacted listeners. So now we have all of those ever-growing Black Friday wish lists. Probably you're getting a bunch of texts and emails about it. But this year, maybe you want to think about making your health a top priority instead of those impulse purchases. Maybe think about what really matters. And we all know what really matters is the importance of sleep when it comes to our overall well-being. While you might say you can't buy a good night's sleep, well, you can definitely buy some help with Magnesium Breakthrough from BioOptimizers. It's a true game changer in the quest for a better night's sleep. And as you know, because we talk about this a lot, it's the only product that we take because it combines all seven critical forms of magnesium into one convenient bottle. So keep that in mind when you supply your body with these essential magnesium forms. You're in for an incredible upgrade because magnesium supports a balanced inflammatory response, promotes healthy restorative sleep, relaxation, calmness, and better stress response. So again, the Black Friday mega sale happening right now, lasting all month, and the biggest discount you can get, and amazing gifts with purchase available only at our site, which is biooptimizers.com/redacted, and use the code redacted. So again, this is your golden opportunity to stock up and reap all the amazing benefits it has to offer. The best Black Friday sale around. You won't find a better deal even on Amazon. So once again, it's the code is redacted. The site is biooptimizers.com/redacted. All right. Well, thank you so much for staying with us. We have more news to get to. Were you going to say something?
Yeah. I mean, just people are just, it's interesting to look at this Houthi rebel strike on this ocean liner, the seizure of this Israeli owned ship, the Galaxy Leader, in the Red Sea yesterday. They've now released this like helicopter footage. And I'll see if I can get you that helicopter footage a little bit later. But it was crazy. First, they had cameras and everything. So shit's getting real. Shit's getting real in the Red Sea. And we're going to see what the response is here real soon. Earlier today, President Biden was doing that stupid turkey pardoning ceremony, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world, where they bring the turkeys to the White House and then they pardon them.
Yeah.
Well, apparently he was almost done with the ceremony, nearing the end of the ceremony, and he suddenly had to say goodbye and he had to run away, ran out of there real fast. And like his people ran off with him to something. Something's going on. So I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Strange things afoot at the Circle K. Okay. Well, President Biden turns 81 today, and he wants you to give him this gift. Two wars, one with Iran and one with Russia. Is that so much to ask? For 81, the guy's done 81 years on this planet.
81 years of warmongering. That's the least you can get a warmonger for his birthday.
Right, that's what another he really war. Wants he in wants the world. Wars. Well, I mean, I don't know what this guy wants. He's a vegetable, but this is what his administration wants. The president published an op-ed in the Washington Post today, or at least someone representing the administration.
There's no way published in hell this guy wrote this.
No one believes he can write an essay.
No.
Absolutely, he can't. But, you know, this is the guy we're supposed to think wrote this essay. I'm going to play you footage of him at the AIPAC conference last week. I warn you, it's a tiny bit gross. If you're eating something, put it down. I hate booger humor, but we're going there. Watch.
Tech companies like Anthropic, and I'm going to mispronounce.
You stand there.
And then pointed to it, and then in front of all of these powerful Asian leaders and business leaders,
he's like, "Look at that!"
And then he was like,
"Stand there,
maybe don't stand there, guy." There's like literally an episode of Friends, where and it's an oyster. He's like, "I stepped on a giant booger." I can't not put the Friends reference in there. So of course, this guy did not write this op-ed. But the people pulling the strings for the Biden administration did. So the point is, let's get to the point of what those people want, because somebody is leading our country into war. Here's the main pitch. Says both Putin and Hamas are fighting to wipe a neighboring democracy off the map, and both Putin and Hamas hope to collapse broader regional stability and integration and take advantage of the ensuing disorder. America cannot and will not let that happen. For our own national security interests and for the good of the entire world. It gets really tiring to be the world's hero, but that's what we do, because the United States, he says, is the essential nation. We rally allies and partners to stand up to aggressors and make progress towards a brighter, more peaceful future. The world looks to us to solve the problems of our time. Do they, though? This is the duty of leadership, and America will lead, for if we walk away from the challenges today, the risk of conflict could spread and the cost to address them will only rise, and we will not let that happen. Now, this is the most laughable part. If it didn't refer to human death, it would be laughable, but it's not. Here he says that in Ukraine, we don't even have to do the dying. Like, look, in Ukraine, we're keeping American troops out of the war, he says. We're giving them weapons. We're giving them money. We have NATO. NATO's sending a bunch of shit, right? So that's his pitch for Ukraine. But then let's go down a few more paragraphs to Israel. To Israel, though, yeah, we're going there. So I ordered two U.S. carrier groups to the region to enhance deterrence. So, yeah, let's not let that one slide. In Ukraine, we don't have to die. We can let them die, because who cares about them?
And they've done a great job of that. I mean, let's be honest. Almost,
good point.
I mean, they really have done a great job.
Good job on all the dying.
Yeah.
On your own.
Yeah. I mean, Ukraine, literally an entire generation of young men is gone in Ukraine now. Almost every male in Ukraine is gone. So NATO has done a really good job killing Ukrainians. But in Israel, the Americans will need to die for Israel.
Yeah.
Yes, you will have to die for Israel.
He doesn't make a case for why. Like, why are some people more valuable than another? Why do we not care about Ukrainian lives, but we do care about Israeli lives? I'm curious. Why? Why there's a hierarchy of, like, it's like passport,
yeah.
You know? Like, you're an A passport or a B passport. Maybe because Ukraine is not, like, a high-level visa-free travel passport, then we can let them die.
Yeah, I don't know, but I know my 13-year-old son, like, he's, you know, getting up there in age. He'll soon be of draft age. Mm-hmm. And if called upon, like, the United States says, hey, Clayton, do you want your son to go to Israel to die for whatever? I don't know, whatever oil, you know, whatever resources we're trying to steal today and trying to steal from Gaza. Like, do you want your son to go and do that? I mean, as a proud American, as a strong American, I will say, absolutely, my son should go off to fight in Israel.
But only for Israelis, not for any brown people, not for any Eastern Europeans.
No. Brown people, not come for, on.
No,
my son's not going to die for any brown people.
Okay.
Only Israelis.
Okay.
Ukrainians. Gotcha. Not Ukrainians.
Not Eastern Europeans.
No.
Okay.
No, the way the United States rolls, we're not doing that this time.
Okay.
We learned our lesson. We learned our lesson in Iraq.
Well, we're going to talk about Iran. Can we put that slide back up where he says that two U.S. carrier groups are going to go now to Israel? To enhance deterrence. Okay. He says, we're going to go after Hamas and those who finance and facilitate its terrorism. By that, make no mistake, he means Iran. because they have been trying to push us into this idea that it's Iran that funds Hamas. Let's leave that for a second. He says, and also we're going to do multiple rounds of sanctions of mass destruction. The mass destruction part I added, you're welcome, to degrade Hamas's financial structure and cut it off from outside funding and blocking access to funding channels, including via social media. There's a little censorship in there for you, too. So we got it all, right? We're going to send some troops. We're going to go after Iran, and we're going to start censoring social media. I mean, start, right, is a joke. They have been. So he's sending troops in, he says, to go after Hamas and those who finance and facilitate its terrorists. Well, we've done that. The United States has financed Hamas, but he doesn't admit that in order to avoid saying that the U.S. has to go after itself. Even the Wall Street Journal recently, take a look at this, admitted that the West inadvertently, oops, I didn't know I was funding a terrorist group.
No, let me just read the headline to people that are driving and listening to the audio version. It's called How the West and Israel Itself Inadvertently Funded Hamas. And yeah, it wasn't really inadvertent. I mean, it was, you can pretend that it was inadvertent, but it was intentional by using, you know, different shell companies and the way that you funnel money through mosques and all of that. It's the same stuff we did in Afghanistan. It's the same stuff we did in Iraq. It's the same pattern. It's not inadvertent at all. It's highly intentional that you receive tens of millions of dollars and weapons from the United States.
Well, he didn't mean us. Okay. He meant Iran. They've been trying to sell us this from day one, from October 7th, 2023. We were told on that day, this is the work of Iran. We're going to find that out. You just wait. So by this, he means that Israel and the U.S. are stepping up rhetoric around the war with Iran by saying they funded Hamas, not us. So by telling us he's going to go after the funders of Hamas, make no mistake, he means Iran. Go ahead,
David. But not ourselves. Okay.
And I just wanted to point out a quote from 2019 from Netanyahu himself. He said, anyone who wants to thwart the establishment of a Palestinian state has to support bolstering Hamas and transferring money to Hamas. This is part of our strategy.
Yeah.
It's well known. I mean, any idiot who's been following this story for any length of time knows that Netanyahu, yes, was absolutely in favor of funding Hamas. They funded Hamas. So did the United States. They are an invention of the West. Without us, they would not exist. So get that out of your brain. And then now to spin it, it's fully backed by Iran. Like that's
right. And in fact, in the 50s, there was an Israeli plan to sort of like push Palestinians to extremism in order to justify their extinction. This was, I think it was called Operation Blue something. I'll look it up. I'll get back to you. So did President Biden ask Congress to declare war with Iran? Well, he doesn't have to, because remember, just a few weeks ago, we talked about how Congress already passed a bill to give him all the power it needs to wage war with Iran. This is U.S. House of Representatives House Resolution 559.
Mike McCall, good old warmonger Mike McCall.
Right, paves the way for war over nuclear weapons with Iran. The resolution declares that it is the U.S. policy that a nuclear Islamic Republic of Iran is not acceptable, and the bill said that the U.S. can use any means necessary to prevent nuclear war with Iran. So are we quite sure, though, that we want a war with Iran?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just channeling my inner Nikki Haley.
Oh,
because,
okay.
Sorry, just
stand down, Nikki Haley.
Comes out of me sometimes.
You know? Excited over there.
When I think about all of the donors who are donating me money and part of my presidential campaign, I want a war with Iran.
Okay, Rambo, we'll take a look at this. This is Iran's new hypersonic missile. Do you now want a war with Iran? I mean, you know, this was what they're calling rare hypersonic glider technology. It was shown off at a conference over the weekend. But this is for aerospace technology. But still, we don't know exactly what they're capable of because Congress is busy lying about it and twisting the words of the IAEA. We've gone over that in depth. So maybe we're scared of that. Maybe we're not. I don't know. Right. I personally don't want a war with Iran just for fun. But clearly voters are not buying this war pitch. Watch MSNBC this weekend freaking out about how low the president's poll numbers are because of the war in Gaza.
Overall, this is the handling of the Israel-Hamas war. And again, it kind of measures overall up with Biden's foreign policy approval. But look at this. Among the oldest group of voters, 65 plus, there's a majority who approve of how Biden is handling this. That's plus 12. Look at the youngest group of voters. 20 approve, 70% disapprove. He is 50 points underwater with the youngest group of voters. That is a 62-point net swing between youngest and oldest on this topic of Israel
Hamas. Look at her body language.
That's a critical
that's
group of voters
bad.
That he needs in order to win re-election, that's for sure.
Yeah, then they showed later a poll that shows in that same clip on Meet the Press, then they show the poll later that shows that President Trump is now beating Biden like handsomely.
Right. And so her body language is like, oh no, what are we going to do? As if it's like a collective problem that she needs to solve. So there's no preamble of
no, you see them laying the I have a story coming out soon on this, but they're laying the groundwork, of course, to pull him out of this. So David Axelrod recently, of course, saying that he's, you know, not up for it and they need to replace him. They need to pull him out of there. There's been a number of liberal media outlets calling for his replacement and putting in someone else. Van Jones has been out there saying this. So I think Kamala Harris is probably going to be the replacement here very, very soon, I would think. Yeah. And so you can see them laying the groundwork here.
Because they can't have this. Clearly, they can't have this. But if it's about the issues of war and not the person, then maybe that's a different story, right? Because could you have this approving of the war if it was a different person?
Could you have, no.
Sorry.
Could you have the approval of the, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
So I'm still getting over this cold. My question is, that sounded worse than it was, believe me. The question was, approval numbers be different if it was Kamala Harris doing the same thing, waging war in Israel?
It's hard to say. I mean, young people seem to be anti-war, which is encouraging.
Right. That's what I think.
But I don't know the numbers on how they think he's handling Ukraine. And it'd be interesting to see young people and their voting and polling numbers with the president's handling of Ukraine, because all of the you certainly had the media push for Zelensky in Ukraine, right? So you definitely had that big push. And I think young people certainly changed their Twitter bios and had Ukrainian flags and all of that stuff. So it'd be interesting to see the difference between those two wars.
Yeah. Excuse me. Well, the Wall Street Journal is helping the president out by saying it's not really his foreign policy. It's just grandpa speak. Like, you know, here's this headline. Biden likes to talk about the old days. Young voters don't like it. It's just because he's an anachronism, you know, like, it's just like your old crazy uncle that doesn't land. It's not because he wants war and so many deaths in Ukraine and Palestinian regions. It's just, you know, that
old
thing.
Joe. It's just Joe being Joe.
And now the Daily Mail says that, you know, this is all happening because he's downright senile. And take a look at this. Now, his staff has resorted to what they call Operation Bubble Wrap because he's always confused and falling as often as his poll numbers. They're resorting to keeping him as contained as possible because people are starting to notice. So clearly, this guy doesn't want war with Iraq. He doesn't know what orbit he's in. But the people pulling the strings behind him do want war. That's what we need to think about and act upon. Who are the warmongers behind him? Will it make a difference if they just switch him out for somebody else? If it's the same powers pushing us towards war, ranking people we will and will not die for? I don't know. And I'll end with this. I think this is a clear indication that Biden is losing the young generation. I don't always like to use like celebrities and singers and their politics, but listen to at least this. This is Cardi B, the singer, railing against budget cuts for American cities while funding two wars. She says because of this, she's done with Joe Biden. Now, I want to warn you, there's a lot of F-bombs in here. So cover your little one's ears if you'd like, but listen to this sort of change in tone of the attitude of people who are influential towards Joe Biden.
There's going to be an $120 million budget cut with schools, with libraries, and the cops and the police department, and a $5 million budget cut in sanitation. Of a budget cut in sanitation. Bitch, we're going to be drowning with rats. We're going to be drowning in fucking rats. So we are going to be having a budget cut on these shits. Mind you, this is why I said I'm not That's why I'm telling y'all, I'm not this year. Don't fucking ask me. I don't give a fuck the resume that they send. I don't give a fuck. I'm not endorsing no fucking presidents no more. Because how is that a $100 million budget cut in New York City for fucking schools, library, police safety, and sanitation? Yeah, Joe Biden's talking about, like, yeah, we could fund two wars. We could fund two wars. Motherfuckers talking about we don't got it, but we got it. Like, we're the greatest nation. No, the fuck we're not. We're going through some shit right now. Like, say it. Say it. We're really going through, we really are fucked right now.
Really.
I can honestly say I didn't think I would ever agree with a single thing she said.
And yeah, I know. I heard this morning, I was like, wow, I just agree with her. Wow, I can't believe it.
We're going to be drowning in rats.
Our friend of the show, Brandon Straka, of course, who was arrested by the FBI after just appearing on January 6th, he tweeted about this earlier today. He said, you know, Cardi B, he said, good for you for coming to this awareness. He said, it happened to me 8 years ago where I had this awakening. Other people are coming to this awakening last year, 2 years ago. You had your awakening this week. Hey, good for you. Good for anybody who's waking up and paying attention to what these people are doing to us. Finally, finally, you know, this community that votes for these people, these Democrats, blindly, and they see what's happening to their cities. They open up their cities to illegal immigrants. Yeah. We're a sanctuary city. And then their whole city is collapsing because they can't afford to do anything. Because, and they're taking hotels and turning them into nice places for illegal immigrants to live. This is the crap that they're doing, and hopefully more people will wake up. Good for her.
Right. So let us know what you think of that, if that is a dog whistle for a war with Iran or somewhere else, or just the same wars we've already got, more war, and if that informs how you're going to vote this year, let us know.
We're going to talk about unvaccinated soldiers next. Wait till you hear what the United States military is doing to unvaccinated soldiers who were given the boot, told to hit the bricks, get out of here, given discharge papers, go home. We don't need you anymore. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin said this will not hinder our ability to wage wars, to have a standing army when we're going to put all of these COVID vaccine mandates in place. So wait till you hear about that. We're also going to talk about, hey, you know, young people apparently just can't handle stuff anymore. They're anxious. They're upset. So we should drug them.
Well, we have a new study that actually shows that all of this rhetoric around mental health is making them worse.
Great.
I'm going to show you this. And it's probably what a lot of us surmised, but I think it's worth looking at.
So we'll get to that in a second. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo. Right now, if you want to get 16 free stocks when you sign up, right now you can by going to redacted.inc/Moomoo. That's the place to go to open your free account, get up to 16 free stocks. And look, we believe here at Redacted about financial education. And Moomoo does an amazing job. Even if you don't use anything else with their app, you just get the free stocks, or you just sign up and you don't even have to get their free stocks if you don't want to. If you're like, you know what? I don't even like free money. I don't even want to open it. They have a whole education piece of their app that will actually help you learn about how to invest. These are things I had to learn on my own. We don't learn this in high school. We don't learn how to invest. We don't learn how to build passive income. We don't learn about buying assets, not liabilities. You don't learn that in schools. Absolutely not. So one of the things that Moomoo does, it's great inside of their app, you can download it for free, is look at their education pieces in there and really learn how to take care of your family, making some smart investments, whether it's investing in some commodities and oil and gas or other things like that, things that are important to the sustainability and future of our nation, whether it's minerals, precious metals, whatever it is that you believe in that regard, please go ahead and invest in. You can do that right inside the Moomoo app. Just go to redacted.inc/Moomoo. Again, that's redacted.inc/Moomoo. You get 16 free stocks when you sign up, including a SoFi app. That's right, SoFi. So you just have to keep your account open for 60 days and make your initial deposits, and you'll get access to those 16 free stocks. So our thanks to Moomoo. And Michael Kennedy says, kiss the cow. Kiss the Moomoo cow. That's right. Good to see everyone. Let me know where you guys are joining us from tonight. We are live on this Monday. Hope everyone's getting ready for a good Thanksgiving holiday. Let us know what you guys are planning for the holiday. You guys going to be traveling? I think the FAA said that this is going to be the busiest travel day for aviation in America's history this week. I have a couple of friends that are flying right now as we speak. And I know it's going to be crazy. How many of you are hitting the road? How many of you are traveling? Are you guys, David, Philip, you guys driving anywhere? Are you going to stay home?
I'm not even leaving my
apartment.
Here
and having my turkey right here. And steak.
Your turkey pot pie?
Turkey steak pie.
Yeah, we had some family stuff that was going to go on, but then Adelaide's siblings got sick, and so they kind of canceled Thanksgiving, and so Adelaide and I are probably just going to eat a bunch of steak, actually, was the plan.
So that's the new move now. No, just turkey. Just do steak.
Nah, I don't like turkey. I'd rather eat steak.
I can get down with that. Yeah, sounds nice. Just hanging out with the family and spend some downtime. Good to see all of you guys. Let us know where you're joining us from tonight. Drop it in the chat here. And thank you guys for subscribing to the channel. All right, let's get into this story. You know all of those U.S. soldiers who refused to inject themselves with an experimental vaccine? You know what happened to all of them, right? How many? We've covered these stories here on the show. They were kicked out of the United States military. That's right. And they were given involuntary discharge papers in most instances. It varied from person to person, but it was not honorable. They got their discharge papers. They got their walking papers. You don't want a experimental vaccine? Sorry, it's mandated under the Secretary of Defense. You've got to get out.
Do you know, does that kind of act like a dishonorable where you can't get home loans and stuff, like their life is pretty much disrupted because of that kind of, or is it different?
I'm not exactly sure, and maybe Grimm can tell us, who's a veteran here, what exactly that means. But I know that it's not dishonorable where you've got like this tarnish on you where you can't then get a job, or where you dishonorably discharged, you can't get home loans or anything like that. No. It just means that I don't think you get the benefits. I think that's what it means. So you don't have a tarnish on you, but you certainly don't get the benefits of having served and getting out with an honorable discharge, if I'm not mistaken. Grim, let me know in the chat, or other veterans here as well, let us know. But also, there was different variations and gradations to how people were discharged. So it wasn't just like a blanket, structure like that, where you're involuntarily discharged. Others had different reasons for it, but the Pentagon was almost gleeful about it at the time. You remember this, right? They were posting official statements to the news outlets to shame these people. Air Force discharges 24 or 27 for refusal to get COVID vaccine. And the Associated Press, of course, which is a mouthpiece of the Pentagon, went along with it in those headlines there. Here's another one. Army cuts off more than 60,000 unvaccinated Guard and Reserve soldiers from pay and benefits with their disloyal discharge, their involuntary discharge. Involuntary discharge. And don't worry, because kicking all of these people out won't hurt America's recruiting numbers at all, they told us. Hey, that's what they told us. This is Marine Corps Lieutenant General David Oddington told lawmakers, "I can tell you there are no operational impacts across the force for readiness. There's no one community that has signaled an instance where a leader or an NCO or another enlisted Marine is not present because of that." Of course, this all came from the top, from the Pentagon, right from the top, from the head of the Pentagon himself. Lloyd Austin and the Biden White House. There he is. In case you can't remember what he looks like, here he is. This is what double-vaxxed and twice boosted Secretary of Defense.
It looks like Lloyd Austin. He just walked off the set of like a Star Wars prequel.
Right.
Is this
Spaceballs.
Naboo Navy. Yeah.
Naboo Navy. Yes. I think he almost looks like Darth Helmet, right? From like Spaceballs or something like that.
Dark Helmet.
Yeah. This is the leader of the United States military. I mean, look at this guy, this joke, keeping America safer by kicking out members in the military, arguably the healthiest Americans that we have because they wouldn't get vaccinated. They were already the healthiest population in the United States to begin with. And so we needed them to get vaccinated. He's a true hero. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin. He also made a lot of money serving on the board of Tenet Healthcare and Raytheon, by the way. He had to absolve himself of those boards when he, of course, took the role under the Biden administration. So you know where his loyalties are, though. Got to make some money for the healthcare industry, get all these guys vaxxed. It turns out Dark Helmet realized he screwed up big time and is now begging those unvaccinated heroes to come back. Please come back. Please come back to the United States military. We'll even burn those discharge papers and give you your benefits back. I can't believe this, but these are letters now being sent out. Former unvaccinated members of the military are receiving letters like this now in the mail. Reading, and I'll quote right from the screen here. We write to notify you of the new Army guidance regarding the correction of military records for former members of the Army following rescission of the COVID-19 vaccination requirement. As a result of the rescission of all current COVID-19 vaccination requirements, former soldiers who were involuntarily separated for refusal to receive COVID-19 vaccinations may request a correction of their military records from either or both the Army Discharge Review Board or the Army Board for Correction of Military Records. Oh, so they can now get their discharge just wiped away with a moist towel. But then paragraph 3. Individuals who desire to apply to return to service should contact their local Army, U.S. Army Reserve, or Air Army National Guard recruiter for more information. In other words, we'd love you back. We'd love you to come back. So it's simple as that. Well, no, it's not as simple as that.
Wait, does anywhere on that letter say anything about back pay?
I didn't see anything about back pay.
For all of the pay that we didn't get?
No, I don't see anything unless I'm missing it here. Personal records regarding characterization of discharge. No, just the characterization of your discharge is now going to be wiped away. But okay. No back pay.
Uh-huh.
No back pay or
anything
like that.
You know, help with any bills they might have gone delinquent on or any, you know, problems that, like, let's pretend it never happened. You don't mention it. I won't mention it.
Right. It's don't ask, don't tell, basically. Uh-huh. That's what it is. Yeah. So, you know, get out of here with that. And so, yeah. So it's as simple as that. No, it's not as simple as that, because the reason these pilots, sailors, and Marines said no to this drug is because it was experimental and they didn't want their bodies forced to take an experimental drug. What would it do to their long-term health benefits? Take pilots, for example. Naval pilots who were forced to take it reported severe adverse events as a result of this. Commercial pilots who were forced to take it reporting severe adverse events. And earlier this year, the FAA quietly lowered the heart health standards for pilots and did so without alerting the public. They admitted the EKGs of pilots is no longer normal. So you mean the hearts of these pilots who shuttle hundreds of people every day are compromised, potentially? And shocking, now we have a pilot shortage in the United States, and airlines are trying to get approval to just use one pilot instead of two. Airlines move to have one pilot, not two, in a cost-cutting solution. In a move to save costs and ease staff shortages, many countries are asking the United Nations body that controls global aviation safety rules to move to a one-pilot model in commercial flights instead of two.
Instead of two with good hearts, we have one with compromised hearts.
Right. Okay. So what happens if that one pilot has an issue? Is anyone on board a pilot? Can anyone pilot
autopilot?
A Boeing 757? Well, I once flew
the thing
a Cessna.
Is, you know, that it's not like the two-pilot thing was something they just did to be funny or to give people jobs. It was a safety issue.
Right.
So now are they suggesting, like, well, it's no longer a safety issue. That's no longer a problem. No, we've realized that if something happens to the only pilot in the plane, it's best to have nobody else there that can pilot the plane.
Exactly.
That's the safest route.
We know from a number of airline crashes, the protocols and that having a second pilot there is, as you point out, there for a reason. It's there so that the co-pilot, the co-captain, can monitor and make sure and verify what the captain is doing. And we know from certain airline crashes in the 1970s that certain protocols weren't in place where the co-captain basically felt like subservient to the main captain. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to question what he's doing, even though I know he's about to get us all killed. I won't speak up and say anything about it. Screw that. The reason we have two pilots there is for that very reason, for safety. So get rid of them. Just get rid of them. Kick them out. And now, this week, we have a pilot warning of a major airline disaster that could be happening very, very soon, thanks to these mandates. If this is not an ominous warning, pilot warns of airline industry disaster due to COVID-19 vaccinations. Captain Shane Murdoch says the air industry is poised on the precipice of disaster, I'm quoting. A pilot for more than 40 years says, and qualified air accident investigator, hey, he has found official data that back up his claim of impending global catastrophe. He adds, quote, when correlated, the data indicate there is an enormous problem that is having and will have a significant impact on aviation safety worldwide. There is enough evidence to be sending out red flags. He says, quote, the article says, there have been many tragedies this year. Phil Thomas, a young graduate of Cadiz in Spain, flight training academy, fell ill, died suddenly in April. There were five pilot incapacitations in March, including a British Airways pilot who collapsed and died in Cairo, Egypt, not long before he was due to fly. Pilots are, as the article points out, super fit. So why are so many dying suddenly or collapsing? Captain Murdoch says they are suffering severe adverse reactions. Like myocarditis, brain fog, insomnia, blood clots, anaphylaxis, and other side effects. And he says some pilots are ticking time bombs and claims many are not even declaring ill health. He said they are not reporting brain fog, quoting him. He says they are not reporting brain fog, heart flutters, dizzy spells, because they don't want to lose their jobs. So thanks for all these mandates. And by the way, you and I were watching, I think we were watching football this weekend, and we saw an ad. Mm-hmm. And for maybe many of you watched it too or saw it. It was just on, it was a commercial. We were like, what the hell?
For COVID vaccines?
No, it was not. No, it was for airline pilots.
Oh,
it was like, they're like, yeah, I'm going to become a pilot. I'm going to become a pilot. You know why? There's a shortage of, and the thing was, there's a shortage of airline pilots in the United States. I'm going to get my pilot's license. I can get this. I can get benefits. I can have this kind of career. I'm going to learn how to become a pilot. And I'm going to go to pilot training school to become a commercial pilot. Because, and it even said in the ad, there's a commercial airline shortage of pilots.
Remember, like back in the day, it was like a prestigious thing to be a pilot. A pilot was like, you were like looked at basically like royalty. And now you're just like, just another piece of meat in a grinder.
Yeah, sadly. I mean, I think normal people still hold them in such high regard. When I see a pilot, I'm like, there's a pilot. You know, but I think to what you mean in the corporate machine and sort of the cogs in the machine, right? They're sort of like being treated this way. Like, you need to get this mandate. They're like pincushions.
Insane hours, the things that they go through, the pay that they get now is not what they used to get. Like, it's barely a livable wage when they used to be like, you know, doctoral status pay-wise.
Well, maybe they could say, hey, as part of our contract, as part of our union contract or whatever, we're not going to be forced mandates anymore. You know, we're not going to be forced to take these things. You can't tell us what to do, United Airlines, Delta Airlines, American Airlines. You can't tell us what to do.
I believe we had a guy on the show last year who was working on that.
Yeah.
Union negotiations to never require this again, anything like this again.
Yeah, he's very brave, and he's gathered an incredible, we'll link that interview that we did with him up in, from the former Air Force pilot, I believe former Air Force pilot, who then was basically forced out.
Now litigating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll put that in the comments below for you guys. Let us know your thoughts on this. We've got more news to get to here on your Monday. We're going to look at drugging our young people and mental health. Are we getting less of it now? Well, you explain it better than
okay. All right. So we have a new study that shows that all of this rhetoric about mental health is actually giving us worse mental health. So we're going to get to that in a second. But first,
I want to tell you about our good friends over at Lear Capital, our friends at Lear Capital. You know, it's no secret. If you're tuned in right now, then you know experts are predicting a recession heading in Q1 of this year, of 2024. And look, I'm hoping that that's not the case, but we're already seeing layoffs. We're seeing a slowdown now in consumer spending, which is troubling as we're heading into the holidays. And we are seeing interest rates coming down. That's good news, at least in the, you know, for real estate we're also seeing inflationary numbers cooling off a little bit. So that's good news. However, the lingering effects could really push into early 2024 as manufacturing, as companies continue to have additional layoffs, and that sort of gets caught up. That's the big concern. What happens in Q1 right now? But gold and silver, again, we saw these governments over the past 24 to 48 hours buying up even more gold and more silver. Again, this is a huge part of our portfolio for investing. And one of the great ways that you can invest is using a self-directed IRA, and you can actually buy gold and silver inside of a self-directed IRA, which is outside the government's control, outside of Wall Street's control. Wall Street makes a lot of money, when you use their products, like a 401k plan or a traditional IRA. All of the hidden fees that are inside of your 401k would floor you, would absolutely floor you to look at the hidden fees. What's the website to find your fees inside of a 401k?
Oh, it used to be FeeX, but they were bought by somebody. Oh. I'm not sure what it is now. I think it's FeeX.
Oh, okay. FeeX.
Yeah.
Okay. So the, yeah, FeeX or whatever it's been bought by, but you can go inside of your 401k and you can now check and see what is inside of your 401k, and you can see all of the hidden fees, and they bury them deep within the fine print because they don't want you to know that they're making money off of your retirement vehicle.
It's now Pontera.
Pontera. Okay. So don't pontificate on that. Anyway, check out our friends at Lear Capital. Excuse me. Check out our friends at Lear Capital today. You can get set up with a gold and silver IRA where you can actually buy gold and silver inside of your self-directed account. And you can actually, all you need to do is jump on the phone with them. Go to 1-800-613-3557 for your free guide. They're going to give you a free gold and silver guide right now. And you can receive up to $15,000 in free bonus metals with a qualified purchase. All you need to do is go to LearRedacted.com or just get on the phone with them. They'll set you up where you can get gold and silver sent to your house, stored in your own personal safe, or stored off-site at a location that's a, you know, storage. That's what Natalie and I do. We keep it stored off-site. Again, call them at their 800 number, 1-800-613-3557, or go to LearRedacted.com.
All right. We have one more story to get to. I'm sorry about this. I haven't, I've had a cold for a few days, and my voice just doesn't want to recover all that well. So I'm here. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, let's talk about this next story, shall we? All right, let's, You ready? Can you do it?
I think so. Okay. Yeah, okay. We're going to talk about mental health, but not in the way that the media is normally talking to you about mental health. Like, let's talk about mental health. You probably don't feel okay. That's because mental health is not talked about enough. No, we're going to ask the question, by talking about it, are we getting less of it? Meaning, are we worse by all of this rhetoric? Well, studies show that we are literally wrecking an entire generation of humans by telling them that they're not okay, and we are doing it inside the Trojan horse of mental health. Shockingly, even the New York Times thinks so. This was an op-ed published over the weekend, and I'm honestly a bit surprised at the honesty in this piece, given that the New York Times normally falls right in line for the biopharmaceutical complex. But what they're doing here is acknowledging that all of this focus on mental health is making young people worse, and we're not helping because the narrative around it is telling people, you have all of these conditions like anxiety and depression, your life is too hard, you can't handle it. And then that is a self-fulfilling prophecy. They talk about how this is not a way to empower teens to deal with the world. It just makes it worse. And what's worse is when celebrities like the Princes of England do this. This is one of their favorite causes. These two brothers hate each other, apparently, but they agree on this. They can always get a microphone if they want to talk about mental health. That was William. Here's Harry talking about mental health. Now, maybe they think they're doing a good thing. I'm sure they do. They think they're giving back with their platform. But if they bothered to study, they would know that psychologists have long since known that naming a condition has a social contagion, meaning you get more of it. Point in case is the true story of anorexia and bulimia in the UK. Their mother, Princess Diana, in 1995, she did this famous interview with the BBC, and she admitted that she struggled with bulimia. Well, after that interview, incidences of bulimia skyrocketed in the UK and other Western nations. The media says that while she helped people heal from it, they called it the Diana effect. They said that after she did this, the study by the Institute of Psychiatry in London showed that they had 60,000 new cases after her revelation. Now, that's an interesting question, right? Were those cases already there? Or was this copycat neuroses? That's an interesting question, right?
Do we know? I think it's copycat.
I think a lot of evidence suggests that it is social contagion, that she gave people a template for what it looks like to act out self-loathing and helplessness. And they were like, oh, okay, well, that's what I'm going to do, either consciously or subconsciously. Now, am I saying people didn't really suffer from bulimia? Of course they did. They played out what she had shown them, and people got quite sick from it. Researchers have known from a long time that when you name a mental condition, you get more of it. There is a social contagion. Now, this is something we're not supposed to say these days because they don't like to acknowledge how it relates to transgender ideology, but research has absolutely shown that there is a social contagion. Now, 13 years ago, journalist Ethan Waters published this work, which I do think holds the test of time. This was published in 2010. I want to recommend it wholeheartedly. He studied conditions like PTSD, eating disorders, trauma around the world, and showed just how most of them are sold to other countries by big pharma. The chapter on Japan and anorexia is especially shocking, and just how deliberate that was from big pharma. But I want to tell you about this. Do you recall in 2004, the Indian Ocean tsunami? It was awful, terrible story of destruction. But what happened in the aftermath of that tsunami was that mental health workers from the West mostly descended on Sri Lanka to tell everyone there that they were traumatized. In fact, research has shown since that that made them a lot worse, because in Sri Lanka, they had sort of cultural ways that they dealt with tragedies in the past. Those cultural survival strategies had nothing to do with focusing on how you feel as an individual, focusing on yourself. Mostly it focused on helping other people, helping your community. But in fact, we kind of messed them up because the West taught them to navel gaze, to focus on their damn selves instead of their community, and it made them hurt more. In fact, this led Waters to conclude that there is not a human universal when it comes to reactions to trauma. And maybe, just maybe, focusing on ourselves makes things worse. Well, this is what another study found, just published last month in October of 2023. What they did here is they grouped teens into two groups. One group took standard health classes. The other did something called WISE Teens, which is a social emotional skills training. It turns out that the students in the WISE group reported more depression, more anxiety, more difficulty managing their emotions, and worse relationships with their parents. And they also felt that every negative emotion was stigmatized. Now, the researchers say, well, we don't think these kids were really engaged in this program, so maybe it has to, which begs the question, because a lot of these programs are not standardized. They come from just like, you know, whatever these local teachers can find. The same thing in Sri Lanka. They had no standardization to like treat these people. They would just be like, oh, you lost your whole family in a tsunami. Can I treat you? And then however you were going to do it, right? Now the researchers say, well, we think these kids, they just weren't very engaged with it. Or did the actual act of this teach them that they are not strong enough to deal with life? Like, we gave them this language. Oh, I feel badly. This must be anxiety. I must be sick. These studies have been repeated over and over again. This language that telling people that they're not strong enough and their mental health is weak makes them more weak. Here's what the New York Times said about it. They had this Lucy Fox, Oxford psychologist, say, this is called prevalence inflation, when greater awareness of mental illness leads people to talk of normal life struggles in terms of symptoms and diagnoses. These sort of labels begin to dictate how people view themselves, and it becomes self-fulfilling. Teenagers who are still developing their identities are especially prone to take psychological labels to heart. Instead of, I am nervous about X, a teenager will say, I can't do X because I have anxiety. Those are really powerful examples, you guys. It's teaching a child that they have no agency in how they respond to things because they have... this is just something that's happening to them. They just don't have mental health. They say that these teens are self-diagnosing and pathologizing commonplace emotions of the problems of life. Now, this is something that researcher Thomas Szasz, who has long since passed, but he was a researcher in the 60s who started warning about over-medicalizing everything. He called this the no-fault disease. Nothing's your fault. You can't be expected to handle it. This is a really powerless way to live. He wrote in 2001 that right now we are healthier than ever, but more afraid of disease than ever. He called that the therapeutic state. That's when government convinces you that you're sick or you may be really sick, so you must defer to all medicalization of every human experience. He warned us that this will come of our inability to distinguish between disease, discomfort, and deviance. So think about this. Look at his definitions when you think about what is a disease. And when we use these terms like mental health disease and mental health disorder, right? A disease is an alteration in the structure or function of the body. It happens only at a cellular level. Disease is abnormal activity of the body, not the person. Discomfort is the complaint of an individual about their own body or behavior. Pain, fatigue, depression. That's discomfort. It's not a disease.
Oh, so they don't have a disease. It's just discomfort. And we're raising literally a generation of people to not experience discomfort. We need to insulate them like bubble wrap.
Right.
So they
and then deviance is when, you know, individuals, it identifies the complaint of individuals about the behaviors of others. Like deviance is, you know, alcoholism, which I'm going to get to, or obesity, or what have you, illicit sexual behavior. Now, in our society, we use this term disease to diagnose everything from pyromania to kleptomania. Everything now is a disease, right? Why do we do this? Well, the history of government medicine provides a clue. Did you know that psychiatrists were the first doctors ever to be compensated by the state? They were psychiatrists. And so it is in the best interest of the therapeutic state to sell us this idea that our discomforts are diseases because we have a drug. They have drugs to sell us for it, right? So we've seen this with alcoholism. That's not a disease. It's not a cellular dysfunction. In fact, alcoholism, I'm just going to give you this little aside, was developed by this AAA who gets funding from big alcohol to sell you this idea that only some people can't tolerate alcohol and the rest of us can. That is a lie. No human body can tolerate alcohol. It's a carcinogen. We're told this to sell ourselves the idea of drinking in moderation. And that's why it fits to use alcoholism as a disease. It's not. Nobody can handle alcohol. Same thing with processed food. Obesity, not a disease. Obesity causes disease. Where does it come from? Well, it's some pretty actually interesting manipulation from food science that's meant to hijack your brain. For that, I really want to recommend this book, The Dorito Effect. Really interesting about how your body thinks it's getting something from junk food and why you crave it. And there's nothing there. Now, am I saying obesity is a no-fault disease? No. But processed food works on the brain like alcoholism. And again, we're selling ourselves these ideas that only some people can't handle it and the rest of us can. There's money there. There are people who want you to think that. Now, does this mean there's no mental disease? Well, according to Thomas Szasz, there isn't. I don't want to make that argument full stop, and you're free to point me to other places. But this is an interesting argument that I just want to entertain the research of Thomas Szasz, because once you look into the history of mental health, you know, it's not a great history. He talks about where we got the idea of mental disease was from this guy. Schizophrenia was invented in 1924 by Eugene Bleuler, who used to treat patients without their consent. And in 1911, he called this dementia praecox schizophrenia. And he said it was an uncontested medical dogma, and they used this to justify incarceration and treatment of people without their consent. And then, oh, there you go. There's some drugs that go along with it. So this is, I want to recommend that you read a book called Pharmacracy if you're really interested in how we got from this to medicalization of all discomforts. So that brings up the idea of these kids today. Do we have any data that would show that all of this mental health discussion makes them better? We don't. In fact, we're starting to get data that shows that it could make them worse. In which case, if your child in their school has all of this promotion around mental health awareness, that would seem to me that we're experimenting on young people because we don't know that it makes them better, however well-intentioned. Maybe it's making them worse. Does that mean that all health professionals are bad people, or, you know, people teaching these courses are bad? Of course not. I think they're well-intentioned. But do they know that their methods will help, or do they maybe need to think about how they would cause harm? And in fact, there are professionals trying to raise the alarm about this. This is Stanford Dean Julie Lithcott-Hames. She writes in her fantastic book, How to Raise an Adult, that children who have no life skills and who are young adults and are coddled have actually more anxiety because the world seems so scary to them. So not only are we telling children they're too weak, but we're not helping them to become strong enough or giving them the tools when it's hard. And this is where the New York Times then goes off the rails and actually suggests non-pharmaceutical aid for mental health just to cope for kids. They say maybe we need more prosaic things like sleep, decreased homework burden, play, exercise, music, arts, community engagement, all things that, you know, used to be once coping mechanisms because life is hard. And so you think about the way that we're talking to young people by just telling them, you can't handle it, it's too hard, this is not your fault, it's outside of you, it's a no-fault disease, right? Or what if we told our kids, this is really hard, we need to toughen you up and get you ready to handle it? Would that maybe help these kids? So let me know what you think of all of this research in the chat.
I'd like to point out something that was a sobering fact when I realized it. And this was, I mean, it was a discussion I had because I used to work in the health science library at Ball State. And anyway, I was with the head librarian, but we were talking about this. But I could get cancer. They could say, well, we can operate on that cancer and you should be fine. You can take this medication. You should be fine. And I can say, nope. And there's nothing the hospital can do about it. I can just be like, I'm just going to go live with my cancer and die.
Yeah.
And they're like, they have to go with that. Mental health, they can force you.
Yes.
To take treatment. So they cannot force you. No hospital can force you to take a life-saving procedure, but they can force you to take a mental health procedure.
Yes.
A court can order it to be done.
Why is that?
That's not scary. Like, just when you think of the grip that the mental health professionals have, like, to me, that's the most frightening thing ever. Because
yes.
If somebody's just like, you have a problem, I'm like, no, I don't. They're like, yes, you do. And we're treating you for it. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. It's totally out of your control.
The biopharmaceutical complex.
Yeah. Because of the sort of, there's a long history there of how this unfolded from these days of like incarcerating mental health patients against their will, and how we really aren't far from that.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of an incarceration with all these kids with the gender stuff, because the pharmaceutical industry is preying upon them and their weakness and promoting this gender ideology, and we're all affirming their mental illness. And so, you know, I just feel bad for kids that are in that situation that are being preyed upon.
Babby in our chat says facts. That's right. You have two doctors here, I guess, in their household, says that's facts. Two doctors here. It's sad. Yep. I mean, it's crazy.
Cause I could go to a court and say, I think my brother David is crazy. And if that court agrees, he could be forcibly institutionalized and medicated against his will.
Wow.
Yeah. Please don't do
and
that.
And there's just nothing he could.
Can we take up a petition?
I'm thinking about it. You better be nice to me.
That's
how much
therapeutic
that steak you share with me on Thanksgiving.
That's crazy.
As much as you want.
I mean, look what happened to Britney Spears, for crying out loud. I don't know if that's the same thing.
I don't know if we want to use her as a success story for mental health. She dances with knives.
Yeah.
Don't put Britney Spears in this.
I was just thinking of Britney.
Okay.
It always comes back to Britney.
In this story. Well, let us know what you think. And as long as you're going through some of these books that I recommended, I do highly recommend Pharmocracy by Thomas Szasz from the early 90s before he passed away, and I think 2001 or 2008. But he warned about this for a very long time, and we have continued to march down this path of like everything is a disease, and it maybe is not helping us. Maybe, you know, a lot of times there's always some mom who comes to me who's like, we need to get involved in this with the girls. And I always say to them, no, my job is only to prepare my daughter for that situation. My job is not to control that situation. And the moms are always like,
What? The moms can't. It's amazing to me to hear this moms group, because they're like, they can't handle it. They're like, my daughter, I'm going to have to call the school and do something. We're like, no, you're not. We're not calling the school. We're going to let our daughter handle it. She's got to handle this and navigate this world herself. We're going to set up a generation of snowflakes.
Right.
They can't handle any adversity in their life.
Yeah.
Like you only, we are put here on this earth to grow from discomfort, right? You have to be stressed in order to grow. It's how you deal with it.
Your discomfort is a disease.
But now it's a disease and I need to take some sort of medication for it, I guess. To tamp me down, like bubble wrap and wrap me up in some sort of brain fog.
Yeah.
And just go through the rest of my life like a zombie, I guess. That's what we want. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Well, I would love your thoughts. If you want to argue that mental disease is a disease, I'm listening. Tell me what you want me to read next and I'll read it. Let me know what you think.
Yeah. And also let us know how many more mugs we can get on the set tonight. And let us know if you'd like to subscribe to the show. You can actually join our Plus Club. We have a private community, which if you'd like to join it, we'd love for you to. Right now, the show is free. You can watch this show on Rumble and YouTube and Twitter for free. But if you'd like to come over and support independent journalism, you can do that by joining our Plus Club, where we have access to...
It's just called Redacted Plus.
Redacted Plus.
Join Redacted Plus.
Redacted Plus. Okay. And just for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can support what we do here if you'd like. Exclusive content, exclusive interviews, content you're not going to see anywhere else, live streams as well. And now that Natalie's feeling better, the launch of the book club.
Oh, yeah.
So now that she's not coughing, and right after the Thanksgiving holiday, the launch of the book club is going to start. And that'll be for Redacted Plus. As I said, the coughing stopped. It didn't. That's going to do it for Redacted tonight. Go to redacted.inc is how you can join our Plus Club. And we will see you back here tomorrow. And by the way, I should mention, it is President Biden's 81st birthday today. And we put together a compilation. Our thanks to our friends over at RNC Research. We borrowed their compilation that they put together, I should say. And they did a great job. They did an amazing job. The folks at RNC Research, you know what I love, by the way, that I even saw an article today or some sort of news. They're like, even the Republican National Committee's own website featured Biden flicking a booger on stage. And it's like, no, this is RNC Research. It's a Twitter account that holds them accountable. It's not the actual Republican National Committee. Anyway, so we wanted to share this beautiful montage that RNC Research put together to honor President Biden's 81st birthday today. You can see that he is sharp as ever, and we wanted to share it. Have a great night, everyone.
Anyway... The best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to, anyway, from Charlotte, another line going from in Florida down to Tampa.
Of Putin's kleptocracy, yeah.
And Joan. Shingang, I'm going to pronounce it right. Shanga.
159 billion dollars led.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him.
The idea that
Los Angeles what am I doing here? For two reasons. One, we haven't been able to communicate it in a way that is, let me say another way.
But the nature, not
a solid meeting with they make a very good point. Here's the deal. Here's what drives the driver in the states that are affected. Here's what you can do, the drivers.
We want to expand pre-K for 3 and 4 year olds, millions of pre-K students.
The
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.